Good afternoon. Praise God. Well, we thank and praise the Lord for another day. This is some people celebrating this day as Easter Monday. And so we say to you, if you still celebrate Easter, then happy resurrection. I thank and praise the Lord that Jesus got up. He's not hanging on the cross anymore. But according to the scripture, he got up with all power, all authority in his hand. And guess what? If you're a born-again believer, you have inherited that. That's part of your inheritance. But we thank and praise the Lord for this day. And I want to send out a shout to the sponsor of this broadcast, Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. We thank and praise the Lord for them. Thank God for this door opportunity. We just thank and praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing in this hour and at this time. In spite of what we see, there's a lot of things happening all around the world that is seem to be going contrary to what God's word say, but God don't want us as born-again believers to be moved by it. That's the thing about faith. The Bible said that we walk by faith and not by sight. So there too, again, God is moving. God is on the scene. The old saints used to say, when you can't trace him, you need to trust him. That's when God is doing his greatest work behind the scenes. Again, we just thank and praise the Lord for this opportunity. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller, and I'm just so glad that you tune in. We've been in a series of teaching, and we've been talking about the spirit of division that's in the body of Christ. You know, when you start looking into the scriptures and studying the scripture, you find out that if you haven't received Jesus, your Lord and Savior, then you're going to really yield to that spirit of division. But once you get born again, it's certain things that God requires from us. Our foundation scripture is Matthew, the 18th chapter, really. We dealt with that, and I'm just going to read a little bit of that. Like I said, I've been in a series of teaching, and I've been trying to get out of it, and look like every time I said, Lord, he let me come out of it, he threw me right back in it, because a lot of people don't have no idea the power of division. They don't have no idea the power of division. They about like the Corinthians church when Apostle Paul was telling them that he wanted to give them spiritual meat, but they could not take it because he was saying they were carnal-minded Christian. He was telling them what strife and division that in jealousy, it was hindering their spiritual growth. And that's the thing that I love about the Bible. The Bible, it's a manual for life. The Bible tells us through Peter, Apostle Peter, God have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And it have been some people that want to know why, if that's so true, while I'm struggling in my relationship with God, while I'm not growing spiritually. The thing about it, that's why we have to seek out the scripture to find out. It's certain things, even as a born-again believer, like it is in the natural, it can hinder your spiritual growth. Now, God done did everything through Jesus' death, buried, and resurrection, through his redemption work. He done did everything that needed to be done that would come between us and our relationship with him. God always intended to have a relationship with mankind. That was God's plan from the beginning. If you go back to Genesis, you'll find it out in that third chapter, what happened with Eve and the snake and all of that. But the point is, I want to make, it was always the plan of God to have a relationship with mankind. He wanted to communicate, fellowship with mankind. That's why he would come down at the cool of the day, and him and Adam would fellowship with one another, you know. But everybody know that Adam and Eve messed that up. But then the Bible tells us in the gospel, in the four gospels, if you study them, that God son, the second Adam, which was Jesus, and worked it out so we can receive everything God planned from the beginning. That's what I love about God. He's the God of a first, second, third, and fourth chance. God is so merciful to mankind. God is so patient to us. Peter said, it is not God's will that any shall perish. But like I say, our foundation scripture is coming from Matthew, the 18th chapter. And like I said, we've been in this because if you start in Matthew, the 18th chapter, if you start read the first 17 verses, it's dealing with strife. It's dealing with division, you know. A lot of people overlook the first 17 verses. They overlook the first 17 verses, and they want to get in. They'll get in the 18th verse and the 19th verse and the 20th verse. They'll overlook the first 17 verses. But as I stated, if you read the first 17 verses of Matthew 18, it's dealing with offenses, it's dealing with strife, it's dealing with unforgiveness, offenses in the church. It's dealing with all of that. And a lot of time, as I stated, a lot of people will overlook the first 17 verses, and they're getting 18, 19, and 20. They want to start buying it. But they don't realize if you're walking around with strife, if you're walking around with offenses and unforgiveness in your heart, that will interfere, that will hinder your authority. Come on, somebody. This is so important. And like I said, I started last month, and it's April now, and we still addressing the spirit of division. And I'm telling you, it is so real. It's real, and a lot of people home is real in the church. Come on, somebody. And that's what God was really telling me. He said, as born-again believers, y'all need to know how to stand against it, to avoid it. And like I said, a lot of people don't realize Christianity is about a relationship with you and your Heavenly Father. Now, he's God to people that haven't received Jesus as their personal Savior. But once you get born again, he is your Father. That's why Jesus said to those disciples when they said, teach us how to pray, he began with our Father who are in heaven. They was in covenant with him, and that's the difference. But there, too, again, we're going to pray, and we're going to get right on in this. Father, it's in the master's name of Jesus. I said, thank you for another day. I thank you. We acknowledge you, Father, is the creator of all mankind. We acknowledge Jesus, the Son of God. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our instructor. And, Father, we just thank you right now. I thank you, God, that you would give us knowledge, understanding, and revelation, even the more about the spirit of division, how we can resist it, how we can avoid it, how we can overcome it. I thank you right now for the Holy Spirit that is being released over the airway to bring in this clear to this revelation to each and everyone that done tune into the broadcast. I decree and declare that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. I thank you that the blood of Jesus cover the hearers, those that have tuned in, that they will receive. In Jesus' name, amen. As I stated, we need to know how that spirit, the spirit of strife and division, how it's in families, it's in churches, it's in community, it's even in the nation. And in God's eyes, the spirit is the spirit of strife and division. It's a big deal to God. A lot of people don't realize it. But it's a big thing to God because what it does, it violates the law of love. We need to realize that. It violates the law of love. And that's why in Matthew 18, the first 17 verse, is dealing with it. It's addressing strife. It's addressing division. It's addressing unforgiveness because it's a big thing. And like I said, a lot of time, because of lack of knowledge and ignorance, the enemy wants us just to, it's nothing. And you know, I advise people all the time, read your Bible. make and find time to read your Bible so you can find out what God requires from you. You know, the Bible, even some people, they debate about the Bible. See, the enemy go to extreme measure to trying to get you and I. First of all, he don't want you to receive Jesus. Then once you receive him, he don't want you to get acquainted or develop a relationship with the Trinity. That's why Matthew 6:33 is so important. It tells us that it's more to life than eating, drink, and what you wear. The necessity that is something more important. And Jesus summed it up with that Matthew 6:33 when he tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added. Other words, a different translation, I like the life, he'd tell us to seek out the God way of doing things. You know, I've been saved a little bit by over 40 years now, but I found out when I first got saved, my mind was so occupied with my background, or better yet, with religion and tradition. I didn't know who I was in Christ. I did not know what God required from me because what I was told did not line up with the word. And for a season in my life, I was confused. Some of my ancestors had told me one thing, and then when I read the Bible, it was saying something else. But thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit, and God being patient with me, he began to show me. And Jesus said on one occasion, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. And I'm telling you, if you want to know what God requires from you, how to live on this earth, the Bible is your manual. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is the one. That's why Jesus told him before he ascended on high, he told him to go to Jerusalem and stay there till they receive power from on high. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Why Jesus on the earth, you can, when you read the four gospels on many a time, Jesus taught in parable. The people was farmers. They understood it. And he used those parables to reveal to them the kingdom, the laws and principles of the kingdom, you know, but Jesus was limited where he could go. Every now and then, though, disciples would say, I don't understand. What do you mean, Jesus? What are you talking about? And even in Matthew 18, here Jesus is addressing them because they talking about who is the greatest and all of this stuff. They didn't know any better. They were kind of mighty Christian, but then you can't be too belittle of them because the Holy Spirit had at that time ascended on the earth. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much of time on that, but I just want to let you know, like I said, a lot of people, they go in Matthew 18 and they'll overlook the first 17 verses. And they'll get in 18, 19, and 20, and they'll want you to touch and agree. They'll start binding, and they're walking around harboring in their heart strife and division, offenses, unforgiveness. And they don't realize that it's affecting their relationship, that's interfere with their prayers, causing their prayers not to be affected. It's interfering with their authority, you know. Because I'm telling you, God said what he meant and meant what he said. But we're going to continue with this. I want you to go at this time. I want you to go to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. I have three scriptures today that we're going to be dealing with. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 19th verse, I want to read it for you. I want to let you see what God said about discord. There, too, again, I want you to see, and I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. You can read it from the St. James or whatever translation, but I like the Living Bible. And I'm going to start at that 16. I'm going to start at that 16 verse. It said, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detects. A haughty eye, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plot evil, feet that raise to do wrong, and that 19 verse really what we're gonna key in on. It's their false witness who pour out lies, a person who sow discord among the brothers. Listen, God hates some a person that's so discord among the brethren. Now, like there too again, like I said, if you don't know this, if you don't have no knowledge and understanding about this, you think it's okay. And I'm telling you, it is so easy. I find out even in the body of Christ, and that's when the Lord gave this to me about a month ago, and he said that I want you to address it on the broadcast, the spirit of division that invaded the body of Christ. You know, you hear saints be talking how they got offended with someone, resentment. They, you know, I don't like so-and-so. And I mean, they boldly with it, and they think it's okay. You see, God planned, according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter, he tells us these signs will follow them that believe. His God will, and in Psalms 115, God gave the earth to men. In Romans, it tells us the earth is groaning for the sons of God to come forward. God have graced us with certain ability as born-again believers to fight against the enemy. But his spiritual laws, just like his natural laws, and this is what some people don't realize. Romans the 8th chapter, I believe it is, in that second verse, he said, the law of life in Christ Jesus have set us free from the law of sin and death. And believe it or not, when we speak, when we begin to open our mouth, we activate certain spiritual laws. Believe it or not. The spirit world is the real world. A lot of people don't realize that. You know, it's a spirit world and it's a natural world. God gave us our spirit to communicate with him and to address and deal with other spirits. You know, well, you know, it's five kingdoms, but the number one kingdom I'm talking about is the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Now, if you ain't been born again, you still in kingdom darkness. You don't have no access to the spirit world. You don't know anything. You hear people talk about it, but it don't make sense to you. But anyway, there too again is that in that 19th verse, God hate. It was talking about the six things that God hate, the things that he did. And he said in that 19th verse, a false witness who pull out lies, a person who sow discord among the brethren. And as I stated, this is what Jesus was addressing in Matthew, the 18th chapter. Like I said, the first 17 verses, take your time and read, and you will find out it is so true. When I started really studying this and what he was saying, I was saying, oh, my, Lord, come on. But he was addressing this, and they always told me that the red letters in the Bible was Jesus speaking. And this is what Jesus was saying. Just what Jesus was saying about unity. And a lot of people don't realize the enemy go to extreme measure because he cannot stand unity, because he know the power of unity. Come on, somebody. He know the power of unity. And like I said, if you start in that 18th verse, you will see it started out with those disciples asking Jesus who was the greatest in the kingdom. That would be in kind of matter of flesh. They was really inscribed about it. You know, but there too again, he began to teach them and let them know about strife and division. And once he got over the strife and division, offenses and unforgiveness, then he began to tell them whatever you bind on earth, for any two you touching and agreeing. He was talking about once you bring the unity, even in unforgiveness, he was saying you have to forgive. I mean, see, these are some of the things that I find out as a minister of the gospel, a lot of people is trying to avoid. They act like, you know, it's okay. I can walk around in offenses. I can walk around in unforgiveness, and it's okay. It is not okay. Do you hear me? It is not okay based upon what God say. I ain't talking about what you think or what I think, but based upon what God say, it is not okay to walk around in offenses. Are we together here? I'm going somewhere with this. It's not okay. It's not okay. Hear me, hear me, hear me. It is not okay. And if you was to go on your own time, jot the scripture down. You can go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Read in in its entirety, and you will find out Apostle Paul was dealing, and he addressed strife and division among the saints, the Corinthians. He was telling them because of it, it would hinder them from their spirit to grow. He said, I can't even give you meat. And that's why I say a lot of people don't realize how powerful the spirit of division is and what it does, not only to your relationship with God, but with one another. Okay, another scripture, we're going to go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and then I'm going to go to the scripture that we're really going to be talking about today that really help us out with this here. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, in that 11th verse. Now, I like some Paul said, and in that 10th verse, he said, finally, brother, be strong with the Lord, mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you would be able to stand against all the strategy and the trickery of the devil. Listen. And one of the strategy of the devil, he used division, he used strife and division, he used unforgiveness to his advance and to our disadvantage. These are the two. That's why Paul said you got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said put on the whole armor of God so that you would be able to stand firm against all strategy and the trickery of the devil. Then he said, for we are not wrestling against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers, the authority of the unseen world, spiritually. And that's the thing about it, because I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And because I'm a spirit, that means I am subject, or either I can be influenced by other spirits. I can be influenced by the spirit of God. I can be influenced by the spirit of Satan. And both of them show up in thoughts. Satan inject thoughts, God inject thoughts, and God speak to our spirit. That's how it happened. And only the word of God will show you and I how to discern, how to be able to recognize. Remember Peter? Remember we said this in one of the sections. Remember Peter when Jesus asked the question, who do you say I am? Who do men say I am? And was revealed to Apostle Peter that thou art the Christ. Jesus complimented Peter, and he continued talking, let them know what was going to take place in his life a few days. And Peter pulled Jesus, said, no, Master, Peter, this is not going to happen. Jesus was able to discern, to recognize, just now God revealed to Peter who Jesus was through revelation. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Upon this revelation, this knowledge and understanding, the reality of who I am. But Peter allowed himself to let the enemy come in and influence him. Jesus turned to Peter and said, Satan, get behind me. Jesus was able to discern, to recognize that now the enemy was influencing Peter. And Peter didn't know. That's why he told Peter in the beginning when Peter said, thou the Christ. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, Peter, but the Lord. God had revealed to Peter who Jesus really was. And see, there too again, a lot of people read the word, but guess what? If you read the word, knowledge is just information. If you just got information and no understanding and no revelation, it don't do you any good. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people, revelation is the reality. It make it real to you. It do. It's a different. That's why you hear some people read the Bible. They memorize scripture. They can quote it, but the reality of it's not real to them. It's a different. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians, the first chapter, getting at that 19th verse. He said, because I saw y'all faith, he said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Father glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, that your spiritual eyes would be enlightened, that you would know. And only the Holy Spirit can bring about the reality, make the things of God real to you. He the only one can do it. Excuse me. But anyway, this is what he was saying. And like I said, the enemy have used that spirit of division, Strife and division. He have used it, like I said, in families. He done used it in church. He done used it in the community. He done even tried to continue to bring a civil war, a race war against the race of people, the black and the white and the black. That's the enemy. That is not of God. The Bible said the thief come in John 10. The thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. A lot of people blaming a lot of things on God because they do not have a knowledge and they don't have an understanding and a revelation of the word of what God say. God is a good God. But so many times, if you don't know what God say in his word about you, tell you the truth, a lot of saints have an identity of Christ. They don't know who they are in Christ, you know. You know, just like for Easter, you got some people, and I was raised up too, but I learned better. They think Easter's all about the bunny and the rabbit and the eggs. But there too, that can be a detraction. That's a tradition, but that can be a detraction from the true meaning. Jesus got up. He been resurrected, and because of his resurrection, his redemption, he liberated us from all kind of racism and all of the strife and division. But guess what? You have your part to play if you don't know no better. Okay, now let's get to my foundation scripture for the day. Is 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. We're going to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And what we're going to do, this is so good, we're going to start at that 14th verse, and I'm going to read all the way down. I'm going to read all the way down to the 26th verse because this is so good. And like I said, when the Lord gave this to me, he said, inject that as well. And like I said, God having me spend a lot of time on this because that spirit of strife and division, it done invaded not only in people home, the nation, community, but y'all, it's in the body of Christ. God expects more from the body of Christ than he do the world. Or better yet, God expects more from the believers than he do the sinners. A sinner nature is the sin. But we have God nature on the inside of us. The Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. Paul tells us in Rome, we need not to be conformed to this world, but we need to renew our mind. Renew our mind. When Jesus said that in John the Baptist saying that people need to repent, it was telling you got to have a change of mind. You have to renew your mind to what the words say. It's just like when two people engage in marriage. Well, they got to get their mind renewed from being single to being married. It's the same way when you get born again. And we have to renew our mind based upon what is written, how God would have us to live, the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Now, God is not going to do that. That's up to you. You go on a new job, guess what you do? Most of when I was working on it, I'm in full-time ministry. But on a new job, you got to find out what they require from you on that job. You can't take what you learned from the previous job to your next job. You can't do that. You have to go and get your mind renewed to find out what, and it's the same way in the body of Christ. Okay, I'm in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. That's a state I'm reading from the Life Living Translation. It's to remind everyone of these things and command them in God's name to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so God can approve you. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid godless, foolish discussions that lead to more and more ungodliness. This kind of talk spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philemon are example of this. They have left the path of truth, preaching the lie that the resurrection of the dead have already occurred, and they have undermined the faith of some. Well, like I said, it was a strife going on, division going on. There was some false teacher among Timothy as a young minister. And Paul was his protege, and he was encouraging Timothy how he's supposed to conduct himself as a young minister. You know, he was telling him what he needs to avoid. And believe it or not, We still have false teachers. The Bible tells us to study the word so we can rightly divide it. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that help us and teach us how to rightly divide the word of truth. I have people come to me sometime or call me and they want to debate the word. I'm not going to debate with you about the Bible. I'm not going to do that. I got other things. With the help of the Lord, I try to use my time wisely. And sometimes people come to you with all of these questions and their motives is not pure. It's not because they want to live right. That spirit still hanging around like they used to do Jesus. They just want to bring some division. They just want to have something to say or try to be little. There too, again, the Holy Spirit will allow you and I who or what conversation we need to be in. And this is what Paul was saying to Timothy. He gone in the 19th verse. He said, but God truth stand firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord know those who are his, and those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from all wickedness. Listen, avoid it. Turn away from it. He said, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasion, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, listen, you keep yourself pure. Why would he use that terminology? Because God have graced us with the Holy Spirit and with his word, and because we're a free moral agent, we have a will. We can will to hear God. We can will to disobey God. And I had to learn that because I did a study and we did it on the broadcast and we talked about how is it you look at some of the characters in the Old Testament and you look at some in the New Testament where the book of Hebrews tell us we got a better covenant with better promise, but you look at some of them and they were so successful. For one thing, they had a made-up mind and their heart was fixed and their will was strengthened because they wanted to please God. But see, the enemy got a lot of people believe you can't do it. Yes, you can. Whatever God requires us to do, God would grace us to do it. I was in the service on yesterday, and they was talking about what took place before Jesus was crucified and after he was resurrected, how they did him. But in Mark, it talked about how, and even in Luke, it talked about how Jesus, when he began to pray and ask the Father to let this cup pass from him, the Bible said an angel came and strengthened Jesus. Jesus' will had not kind of got weak. What the enemy do, the enemy can't make you and I do nothing, but what he does, he'll weaken our will about a situation by we keep hearing about it, the negative of it. We start having image about it, and then we begin to say things that we shouldn't say. See, the devil can, now God is not going to violate my will. He's not going to override my will. And the devil can't make me do nothing, but his strategy is to weaken your will. That's what he did with Eve. Eve kept looking at the forbidden fruit. She kept looking at that tree. And as she was looking at it, the enemy kept telling her, did God say it? Did God say it? That's why it's not good. The Bible don't tell us to meditate on the problem of the situation, but he tell us to meditate on the solution. By meditating on the problem, all the enemy doing is giving you and I every reason under the sun to rebel or don't do what God say about the problem. Just like prayer is the solution to the problem. It's not, you know, you don't pray the problem, you pray the solution. If you study Mark 11, if you study what Jesus told them about prayer, prayer is declaring and saying what God say about it. It took me some years to learn that, but I did. Okay, but anyway, like I say, I want you to see this, and he was telling him, he tell us, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for his purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Look what, listen, 22nd verse. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Follow everything that makes you want to do right. Pursue faith in love and peace. And enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fight. The Lord's servant, listen, a believer, He said, the Lord's servant must not quarrel or must be kind to everyone. Now, the Bible said, the wrath of man work not the righteous of God. The Bible said, get angry and sin not. You got to know how to rightly divide. Understand what he's saying. Jesus got angry with those that were selling in the temple, and the Bible said he whooped them out, but he didn't sin. You know. Now, if you start using profanity, cursing, and all of that, and talking about fighting somebody and all of that, now, that's where you done open the door for the enemy. The Bible say a soft word turn away wrath. I had to learn that. Even with Jesus, when Pilate, when he was brought before Pilate, them, they asked him, sir, Jesus didn't even open his mouth. Sometimes, and that's why it's so important to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to know what the word says. Sometimes in certain situation, a certain conversation, sometimes you just got to be quiet. Yeah, I done been down that road before. Sometimes you just got to be quiet. And then when you do have the opportunity to speak, you got to choose your word carefully. You got to use soft words. The Bible tells you, you can't reason with a fool. I done been there before. Somebody getting all loud with you and all of that, the cut scribe, sometimes you just got to be quiet and address it another time. Because according to Matthew, the 18th chapter, that's what he was saying. If you have offense or have a problem with your brother, you need to go to your brother and your brother alone, not to go improve upon who was right, but to bridge the gap, to bring about the unity, because the unity been divided, it been separated. And the Bible tells us one can put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. It's just like in a marriage. If husband and wife truly get a knowledge and an understanding about strife and division and what it can do, how it can hinder their prayers, how it can stop the manifestation of God blessing, I'm telling you, like I said, strife and division, it violates the law of love. One of the longest prayers in the Bible, if you go to St. John, the 17th chapter, Jesus prayed. And he would come out there. He wanted the Father to love us. Talk about Aaron Beers, about how the anointing come down. And y'all, the enemy, that's why he always trying to bring strife and division. Because he know if we work together, if we operate in unity, he cannot stop the power, the authority, the manifestation of God. He can't stop it. It just like, as I stated, just like you got natural laws, you got spiritual laws. And if you violate some natural, okay, so for example, if you go out here and run the red light, it's possible you can cause an accident. And please don't let the policeman find out you do it. They're going to stop. You done violated a law. You're going to pay a fine. In other words, it's consequences. Even if he don't see you, as I stated, it's possible. You can have an accident because you've got its consequences with it. If you go to Deuteronomy 28th chapter, I think it's also Deuteronomy 30th chapter, it tells you how the Lord said, he said, I said before you this day, blessing and cursing, life and death. He said, but you choose life that you and your seed may live. You and your seed. He was telling you the consequences of hearing and obeying and keeping his commandment and the consequences are not. You go to Deuteronomy 28th chapter. I think the first 15 verses, if I'm not making a mistake, it tells you about the blessings of God if you hear and keep and do what he said do. Then it tells you the curses. And there too again, because we're free moral agent, this is something I had to learn. It took me some years for it, but I thank God for his patience. But I found out when I'm praying for other people, God is not going to violate their will. He's not going to override their will. But God will continue to work on them and melt their heart. But when you praying for you, when I'm praying for me as an individual, the only person can stop me is me. Nobody else. If I will to do it, and I find out when we will to do what God say do, grace It's not only mean the favor, unmerited favor, but it means the ability. God enable us with the ability to do what he say. And that's why I said when I read in Mark when he was talking about Jesus, how he was, his soul was exceeded. It was an exceeded sorrowful. But he prayed. And by he praying, the angel came down and strengthened him. Like the enemy was weakening Jesus' will because he was, it started bothering him. That's why he said, Father, if it be your will, nevertheless my will, but let this cup pass from me. He knew from the beginning it was God's will for him to die, to be crucified. He knew that. But guess what? His will got weakened. So he needed some reinforcement. He needed some help. He needed some strength. So Jesus began to pray. And I'm telling you, it's not God's will for us to yield to that spirit. It's a spirit. I'm telling you, strife and division is a spirit. It's a tube, as I stated, that Satan used to intercept and interfere our spiritual growth, our relationship with God, affect our authority. Come on, somebody. This is what he used us against us. See, Paul made this statement to the Corinthian church. He said, God would not have us to be ignorant of Satan's device. And at that time, Satan would use an unforgiveness. That's what Paul was addressing. God don't want us to be ignorant of our enemy. Peter said, neither give place to the, Ephesians, yeah, Paul said, neither give place to the devil. The Bible tells us in James tells us submit to God. I think it's, he tells us, James says submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil flee. See, a lot of people, they ain't submit to God, but they trying to get the devil to flee. Well, what you mean, prophet, when you say submit to God? Mean doing it God way. Come on, somebody. Like I said, the Lord of land. You don't post to, well, you don't post to run the stoplight, you know. You don't post to the stop sign. You post to obey. You post to have a driving license. You post to have a permit. And if you violate these laws and you get, it's consequences. But the only difference in the spirit realm, the moment you violate that spiritual law, another law starts working, the law of sin and death. A lot of people don't realize that. When I came to that, I said, oh, my goodness. So that's why God's saying what he's saying. But like I say, God ain't going to make me do nothing. And I'm telling y'all, this is so important. The enemy know if a husband and wife come in total agreement based upon, come on now, based upon Matthew 18 and 19, I believe it is, he know if a husband and wife come in agreement, come on, somebody, if they come in total alignment, total agreement with what the word says, they do not have to wait till they get to the building, to the church, but that husband and wife can touch and agree. What I mean, touch and agree is really just coming in agreement with what God's word say. Come on, somebody. I want you to hear me good. The enemy know. He know, I'm telling you, he know this. He know if that husband and a wife, if their husband and wife come in total agreement with what God's word say, they can do what Matthew 18 said. They can bind. They can forbid. And the enemy don't want that. That's why Paul tells the husband that you need to live with your wife according to knowledge. He talking about the knowledge of the word. Keep the peace. Even in the book Hebrew, it tells us we need to pursue peace. Now, everybody ain't going to live peace with you, but God would give you wisdom how to deal with people that is not in peace with you. Even when, you know, God means for us to disagree, but don't separate. Or don't get in strife about it. Don't get in offense about it. And I'm telling you, these are things, this is something that the enemy uses against the body of Christ. The Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight. Two could put 10,000 to flight. You know, I'm an intercessor, and I thank God my daughter is a second-generation intercessor. My granddaughter is a third. And these are sometimes I talk to them, I said, watch the enemy. He gonna always, if you ever look at a team, you have to watch it when you're in a team. You have to watch it when you're in a group. Somewhere, somehow, the enemy going to try to bring some strife and division in there. Oh, he going to do that. Because he don't want us to enjoy life. As I stated, Jesus said, I came that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. Well, the devil don't want us to have that abundant life. He don't want husband and wife to enjoy one another. He going to always try to find something for them to get his strife about. He don't want children to get along with their parents. He going to always try to find something for them to disagree. And I don't see this among leaders in the body of Christ. I done sit in meetings, and I done hear it, and I just shake my head because I used to have a problem with strife. I used to have a problem with division, and I had to learn. I mean, one time I was going through with one of my grandchildren, my granddaughter, and I ended up getting my daughter to him, how in the world, Mom, you let a 16-year-old, I think she was 16, either 15, upset you like that? And it was like when she spoke that to me, the Holy Spirit quickened in my spirit. And then I had to, okay, I might just need to be quiet. You know, we use the terminology shut up, but you know some adults, that's offensive for you to tell them to shut up. So, but anyway, and I thought about it. And I meditated, look, just be quiet and just pray. I'm telling you, that's why the Bible said we need to pursue peace. Now, you know, the way the world, and if you haven't, if you haven't renewed your mind based upon the word, the enemy will have you thinking you being a sucker because you don't get inscribed in division. I was talking to this lady the other day on the phone, and they made this statement. Well, you know, I just don't care. I'm going to tell people what I think. I said, listen, I said, sometimes people misinterpretate because I'm a quiet person that I'm scared. I'm not afraid of nobody. It's just the way I express myself. I don't think I need, I don't have to curse. I don't have to get in profanity to prove a point to nobody. And this is what the enemy will have sometimes you believe in if you ain't careful. Oh, you just let people run. No, God will give you wisdom how to talk to people. You ain't got to be cursing and getting all in a raid and talking about fighting. So, see, these tubes are the enemy. Because when you give place to the devil through scribes, offenses, hatred, the Bible says, scribes separate the best of friends. I mean, like I said, go back and read what the Bible say. You don't have to take. There's so many scriptures in the Bible about scribes and division. And I'm telling you, if it was, the reason why men was filled led of the Holy Spirit to address it and why Jesus addressed it, because like I said, if you read Matthew 18 in its entirety, it's dealing with believers. It's dealing with the church. If you read in its entirety, read in different translation, it'll show you that. And like I said, when he dropped down, I love it. After them 17 verses, when he done dressed the vision, the scribe, the unforgiving, then he say in that 18th verse, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on this earth shall be bind in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that was after he done dressed all the rest of them. And like I said, I have seen people in prayer group. They don't want to dress that. They just know, he said, here we're in the two testing agreement. I have been led, even talk to some people, I said, is there any strife and division going on? Prayer groups is good. Intercessors is good, but they have to watch that spirit of strife and division. And this is what Paul was saying to Timothy. I'm going to read that. I'm reading, like I said, reading from the Living Translation, start at the 23rd verse again. He said, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. And, y'all, we got grace to deal with difficult people. You ever met some difficult people where the Bible says you can't reason with a fool? You be trying to solve the problem. They always, the Bible said, put some of them folks. I found out in some meetings, some people, regardless of what you say, they still want to argue about. Them the kind of people, according to the scripture, you need to put them out. Yeah, the Bible talk about it. The Bible tell you to get rid of them. It tell, yes, it does. The Bible tell you to get rid of them. Because they just, that if you get rid of them, I think it's Proverbs 28. You know, it's a proverb, stir up scribes. I read in that, in one of the scriptures, it would tell you if you just get rid of them, just put them out. I'm trying to see which one, which verse it is. I got it in my notes. But I want, because y'all, like I said, a lot of people might say, Prophet Miller, we don't need this. We don't, y'all, let me tell you, this is so important because it's in the land. But you don't have to let it come in your intercessor group. You don't have to let none of that come in, because I'm telling you, once it get in there, I'm telling you, in trouble. You in trouble. Jesus even said on one occasion when they said he would cast an out devil by the spirit of Beelzebub, what did Jesus say? He said, a house divided cannot stand. You know the divorce rate wouldn't be so high if it wasn't strife and division. It's in Proverbs 22:10. It tell you, it said, cast out the scar, the contention shall go out. Yes, strife and reproach shall see. In other words, it said you can't, that's Proverbs 22:10, you get rid of them. You ever been around somebody, you can't please them, they're always enraged, they always want to debate, get his cry, get rid of them and it'll stop. That Bible, Proverbs, I know I had them a note in Proverbs 22:10. Because as I stated, that is not God's will. And this is what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, the Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. They shall gently teach those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's heart, and they will believe the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. And the enemy used offenses. He used strife, discord. He used it to his advance. Now, that's one of the ways he intercepts. That's a way that he'll separate people. And I'm telling you, I wish sometime I had this knowledge and understanding and revelation about strife, division, unforgiveness, offenses. Now, like I said, as a sinner, it's a whole different ballgame of rules. But when it comes down to born-again believers, the Bible tells us, the Bible even tells us that we need to do everything without murmuring and complaining. I'm telling you, and don't let the enemy have you to believe that you can't do what God said. What kind of father God would be? And who know us better than him? He created us for his own good, for his own purpose. He know what I can do and what I can't do. The Bible even tell us. What father will ask you, if you ask him for a piece of bread, he'll give you a stone. God won't do that to you. You ask him for a snake, I believe he said he'll give you an egg. God don't do that. And I watch a lot of times God been blamed for things that God is not doing. But because you ignorant of saving device. And this is what Paul was saying to the church. He said, God don't want you to be ignorant of saving device. And I thank God for Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was Timothy's mentor. And he was teaching him what he needed to avoid. Because at that time, a lot of false teachers, at that time, they were trying to manipulate and confuse Timothy. Paul even, that someone was, he was intimidated by so many false teachers. And Paul even told, God ain't gave you the spirit of fear. Timothy, God ain't gave you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and of a sound mind. And I thank God for that, you know, because like I said, certain people, if you ain't careful, if you don't know what the word said, you don't know how to rightly divide, you can be intimidated by them people, you know. I have told people, ask a minister of the gospel, I said, okay, this is what the Bible said. If you don't agree, that between you and God. You ain't got nothing else to say. I said, what you want me to say? You know, I listened at certain ministers, George Meyer, the late Fred Reprise, you know, Kenny Copeland. I listened at some of them, Crawford Dollar. They talk about how they don't deal with strife in their staff. And I used to say, what in the world? But they had knowledge and understanding and revelation, the power of strife. What Christ do, the division it bring. It stopped the blessing of God. It stopped the anointing, it hindered the anointing. I went through a time period, And I'm coming in now. I went through a time period in my life. It was a certain individual. I would watch every time it was time for me to minister or do Bible study, they would come and we would get in strife. We'd start quarreling about something. And God began to open the scripture up. He said, that's the enemy. He said, what he doing? He intercepting and it's affecting your anointing. He said, you can't communicate. He said, and I'm not about that. And when God began to show that to me, and sure enough, he said, I'm what you deserve. And what I did, I learned how to be quiet, shut my mouth. Even if that person would try to call, I wouldn't even answer the call. I said, I'm busy. I can't talk. And I mean that because the Bible says, scribes separate the best of friends. I'm telling you. And now James said, now I didn't get in today, but we done been in for, James talk about the tongue. James talk about what the tongue would do. Some people don't believe it. James talk about the tongue, how powerful the tongue is. See, that's why a lot of saints, and James, you could go James, the third chapter, I might start with that Thursday. Because, y'all, this is so important. Like I said, God constantly, and I've been on this thing for about a month, the spirit of strife and division, how we can avoid it, how we can shut it down. You know, a lot of times, well, I'm praying that God do something about it. No, God telling you what to do. Now, everybody ain't going to do it. See, God already know before he even told us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. He know everybody ain't going to choose to do it his way. That's why in Deuteronomy the 3rd and Deuteronomy, he tell us, I set before you the life and death. You choose. God, we are free moral agent. That's why God let us choose. And I'm telling you, I say it again, if you don't want to do it God's way, God is not going to force you. But you will suffer the consequences. Because when you violate spiritual law, just like in the natural, you suffer the consequence. So it is in the spirit. You would not experience the abundant life if you continue to disobey and rebel against what God's word say do. Too many people blaming the devil. They blaming everybody. That's the thing about born-again believer. I know they don't want to be responsible for their action and pride. They don't want you even discuss with them. Come on. They don't want to hear that. They want to always blame somebody else. When you acknowledge, the Bible tells us in first, it tells us in that first chapter, when we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive. God, I'm guilty. I did it. I said it. Lord, forgive me. Because I'm telling you, sin separated. It put a brick in your relationship with God. And that's what the enemy wants. He don't want you, because if you communicate with God daily and doing what he say do, you're going to see a change in your life, your surroundings. We got to bring it in. I got to close now. Again, this was Apostle Willie M. Miller. And like I said, we've been addressing the spirit of strife and division, how to overcome it. Yes, you can overcome it. You don't have to do that. Some people say, all my life, that would have been, no, well, listen, you can be delivered from strife. Because the wrath of man don't work the righteousness of God. Get angry and sin not. Again, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for knowledge, understanding, and revelation of your word. I thank you for those that tune into the broadcast. I thank you, Father, even after we go off the air, I thank you how you're going to continue, as they meditate, you're going to continue to bring enlightenment and understanding and revelation to those that choose to know how to be set free from the spirit of strife and division. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your day. And remember, Jesus is Lord.